Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter, Katie Weaver, Anna Mateo, and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will bring us America's Presidents. But first, United States President Donald Trump and UN Ambassador Nikki Haley have announced that Haley will leave her position at the end of the year. Trump called Haley a very special person as he made the announcement with Haley by his side in the Oval Office. The president said that Haley told him 6 months ago that she might want to take some time off. He added, "She's done a fantastic job, and we've done a fantastic job together." Haley thanked the president and called her service as UN ambassador an honor of a lifetime. Haley has often been mentioned as a candidate for president. However, she said, "No, I'm not running in 2020. She added that she plans to support Trump for re-election. At the UN, Haley led Trump's policy to fight against anti-American and anti-Israel actions by the international organization. She announced that the U.S. would be taking names of countries that voted against its decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Last month, Haley wrote an article in the Washington Post discussing her service in the Trump administration. She wrote, "I proudly serve in this administration, and I enthusiastically support most of its decisions and the direction it is taking the country. But I don't agree with the president on everything." Haley is the daughter of immigrants from India. She criticized candidate Trump for his position on immigrants during the 2016 presidential campaign. Trump replied, "The people of South Carolina are embarrassed by Nikki Haley." As the first female governor of South Carolina, Haley supported the removal of the Confederate battle flag at the state capitol building. Some considered the flag a symbol of racial oppression. Trump said he was considering many candidates for Haley's job and that a successor would be named in 2 to 3 weeks.
A suicide bombing in Afghanistan has killed a parliamentary candidate and 9 of his supporters. The attack came one day after Taliban rebels said they would use violence to interfere with national elections. An Afghan government official told VOA that the bomber targeted an election campaign office in Lashkargah, the capital of Helmand province. The official said the explosion injured at least 15 people. He identified the candidate as Salah Mohammed Achakzai, who was seeking a seat in the lower house of parliament. People who saw the attack said they expect the number of injured to rise. They said the office was crowded at the time of the explosion. On Monday, the Taliban said it ordered resistance forces to stop the election process by carrying out attacks on Afghan officials. The group also told them to target security forces protecting voters and polling stations. The Islamist rebels have denounced democratic processes as part of an American plot to lengthen what they call the foreign occupation of Afghanistan. The Taliban also has called on Afghans to boycott the elections. Election officials say more than 2,500 people, including over 400 women, have registered as candidates. They are competing for 249 seats in Parliament's lower house. The elections have been delayed for more than 3 years because of security concerns and a lack of reforms. Intimidation and attacks against candidates, their representatives, and supporters have taken place as the country prepares for the vote later this month. More than 20 people have been killed and many others injured in election-related violence. Candidates, security guards, and relatives of those seeking office have been among those targeted. The attack on Tuesday took place in Helmand province, which is Afghanistan's largest province by area. Taliban rebels control much of Helmand, including areas surrounding the provincial capital. The elections are set for October 20th. The Afghan government plans to deploy 54,000 soldiers and policemen for protection around voting stations. Thousands of United States-led NATO forces also are expected to assist them. On Sunday, the United Nations Assistance Mission in Afghanistan warned in a report that rebels are plotting suicide attacks targeting civilians. The UN group reported that attacks with explosives had killed 1,065 people and injured over 2,500 others between January 1st and September 30th. I'm Mario Ritter.
The United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is warning that the world is heating faster than predicted. The group says a major slowing of warming is critical to avoid disaster. If not, the researchers say, the threat to people, ecosystems, and sustainable development will rise to irreversible levels. The IPCC released the special report on global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius Monday. It says it shows that global warming already has topped 1 degree Celsius since pre-industrial times. Chinese scientist Pan Maozhai is a leader of the research. He says one of the key messages that comes out very strongly from this report is that we are already seeing the consequences of 1 degree Celsius of global warming through more extreme weather, rising sea levels, and diminishing Arctic sea ice, among other changes. The scientists report that the level of warming will reach 1.5 degrees during the next 30 or so years at the current rate of greenhouse gas releases. Greenhouse gas includes waste gas like carbon dioxide from burning fossil fuels. Greenhouse gases trap heat in the atmosphere, causing higher temperatures on Earth. The report says the world needs to reach zero net emissions of carbon dioxide by 2050 to prevent a further rise in temperature. It warns a further increase to 2 degrees Celsius would greatly increase the number of natural disasters. It would speed the melting of the Arctic sea ice, causing islands to disappear under rising seas. And, the report says, it would become impossible to produce enough food to feed the world's growing population. Petteri Talas is Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization. He says there is still time for people to change their behavior to stop an increase in greenhouse gas releases. He says preventing the world temperature from rising by 1.5 degrees Celsius would make a huge difference in the well-being of the planet.
One of the major issues is that there would be 420 million people less suffering because of climate change if we would be able to limit the warming to 1.5 degree level. And we have certain areas in the world which are extremely sensitive, small island states, Mediterranean region, and also sub-Saharan Africa, which are already suffering and will suffer the most in the future.
Talas suggests several actions governments and individuals can take to lower the world's temperature. One is to end the use of fossil fuels. He says clean energy power from the sun, water, wind, and other renewable resources are available to meet humanity's needs. He says public and private transportation should use electric power. Talas told VOA that people can help save the planet by changing the way they live. He says this should include changes in how and what we eat.
For example, the fact that we eat so much meat means that we are using a fairly large fraction of our agricultural land for the cattle instead of producing vegetarian food that it would be more carbon friendly.
Talas says governments have about 30 years to stop using fossil fuels and limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. He says this is a major task, but he says it is not impossible. I'm Katie Weaver.
People across the world use Airbnb to offer their homes to travelers, usually for a nightly fee. The home sharing service provides some people a way to make extra money while they work other jobs. The company announced recently that one of its most popular professions among American Airbnb hosts is teaching. The information came from an Airbnb study to find out what industries its American hosts work in. The study found that almost 10% of U.S. Airbnb hosts in 2017 identified themselves as teachers or in the field of education. The home sharing service estimated it has about 45,000 active teacher hosts in America. In addition, the study says there are an estimated 75,000 other hosts living in households with a teacher. American teacher hosts earned more than $160 million from Airbnb in 2017, the company said. That includes about $54 million earned during the summer alone. The average amount earned by teacher hosts individually was $6,500 in 2017. The study did not provide data from hosts about why they choose to become part of Airbnb. But the company noted that many teachers in America face difficult economic situations. Airbnb says additional earnings from hosting can help. The U.S. Department of Education reported this year that 94% of public school teachers said they had spent their own money on some classroom supplies in the 2015-2016 school year. It also reported that average pay for public school teachers in 2015-2016 was lower than in the 1990-1991 school year when the inflation rate is considered. Some states had even higher rates of teacher hosts than Airbnb's estimated national average. The Midwestern state of Wisconsin had the highest estimated number of Airbnb teacher hosts at 26%. Utah was next highest at 25%, followed by Ohio with 20%. Several other states had teacher hosts of between 14 to 17%. The top city for teacher Airbnb hosts was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the company said. An estimated 17% of Airbnb hosts there were teachers. Combined, they earned about $1.6 million in 2017, $470,000 of it during the summer. The yearly average of nights hosted by teachers in the city was 69. San Diego, California was the next most popular city for Airbnb teacher hosts at 15%. The hosts earned an estimated total of $2.7 million in 2017. Airbnb spokesman Christopher Nolte told The Atlantic magazine that the home sharing industry is not a total solution for the current problems facing many teachers. But, he said, he thinks Airbnb can be an important tool to help teachers make extra money and give them the respect and dignity they have earned. The report on the number of teacher hosts comes as Airbnb continues to face opposition by activists and officials in some areas. U.S. critics of the company say the service is driving up rental market prices in several cities. Elected officials in some areas have proposed or approved rules to limit the influence of the service. Hotel companies have also protested that the business presents unfair competition. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are continuing our story about Abraham Lincoln. He led the United States during the Civil War, which lasted from 1861 to 1865. In that conflict, the Southern Confederacy battled the Union, the states that supported the federal government. Southern states wanted to make their own laws, including those that protected slavery. They were afraid that President Lincoln would use the power of the federal government to ban slavery in their states, as well as in other areas. So 11 Southern states withdrew from the rest of the country. They stopped recognizing the power of the central government. President Lincoln did not think states had the right to withdraw. He said he was fighting to reunite the country. But in time, he accepted that the Civil War would also be a fight to end slavery. Lincoln is known for several qualities as a wartime president. One was how he led the military campaign. As president, Lincoln worked with top military officials to create a plan. They realized that the Union had more resources and more men who could fight than the Confederate forces. So they planned to surround the Southern states, cut off their supplies, and prevent foreign powers from helping the Confederacy. Lincoln hoped the Union's generals could execute the plan quickly and end the war as soon as possible. But the generals were guarded. They did not want to harm their soldiers if they did not have to. They also knew the Confederacy had a skilled commander in General Robert E. Lee. Troops under another Confederate general, Thomas Stonewall Jackson, also defeated the Union Army in several early battles. Lincoln was frustrated with the war effort. He wanted generals who would not only win battles, but chase after the opposing forces and destroy them so they could not fight again. In one famous telegram, he wrote to his top general, George McClellan. Lincoln said, "If General McClellan does not want to use the army, I would like to borrow it for a time." Finally, Lincoln replaced McClellan. Then he replaced McClellan's replacements. Lincoln changed the presidency by being actively involved as a commander-in-chief of the military. He also greatly expanded the powers of the chief executive. Lincoln believed that, during war, the president had powers that were greater than those of Congress and the Supreme Court. As a result, he took many actions that critics, and even some supporters, considered illegal under the U.S. Constitution. For example, Lincoln spent millions of dollars in federal money without getting permission from Congress. He also limited freedom of the press, restricted mail service, and declared martial law in some places, even when the situation did not require military action. Most notably, Lincoln temporarily suspended the writ of habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is an important right in the American legal tradition. It means that people who are under arrest have the right to appear personally in court. But at some periods, Lincoln ignored that right. He said the Confederacy's rebellion justified his actions. And he said extreme measures were necessary to reunite the country. One of Lincoln's most important legacies relates to slavery. The issue was at the heart of the American Civil War. For most of his career, Lincoln spoke against slavery, but he did not try to bar the custom in states where it already existed. He agreed to leave slavery in the South alone. Lincoln also did not really believe in racial equality, and he worried that if slavery ended in the United States, blacks and whites would not be able to live peacefully together. But as the war continued, Lincoln changed his mind about how to deal with the issue. For one thing, anti-slavery activists were urging Lincoln to end slavery for moral reasons. Lincoln also considered tactical reasons, those related to the war. He saw that enslaved people in the South were escaping to join Union armies in the North. Their actions helped the Union effort. Lincoln also wanted to prevent England or France from helping the South. The Southern states were important trading partners for Europe, but the English and French people had rejected slavery. Lincoln hoped that if the Union also rejected slavery, European countries would support the North, or at least not support the South. So Lincoln waited until the Union won a major battle in Antietam, Maryland. Then he announced that he was using his power as a wartime president to order the end of slavery in the Confederate States. He produced a document called the Emancipation Proclamation. It said that enslaved people in the rebelling states were forever free. Historians note that the act was important and revolutionary, but it was mostly symbolic. The federal government was not able to enforce the order at the time, and it did not deal with enslaved people in other areas. But the Emancipation Proclamation was the beginning of the end of legal slavery in the country. During the rest of his presidency, Lincoln worked in support of an anti-slavery amendment to the Constitution. That amendment, the 13th, was approved in 1865. It officially outlawed slavery across the country.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.